Right. Now the Bhagavatam. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Agyana
Timirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksun Militam Yena Tasmain Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadate Swabhadantekam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvaidutam Prijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakavitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimakte Bhakti Vedanta Swamaniti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesa Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatanane Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garanhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Panchakalpa Turubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhyevacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha. So we're reading text 38.
Vayam.
Nama
Rupabhyam
Kevayam Nama Rupabhyam Yadubi Saha Pandava Yadubi Saha Pandava Bhavato Darshanam Yarhi Bhavato Darshanam Yarhi Rishikanam Iveshitu Rishikanam Iveshitu Kevayam Nama Rupabhyam Yadubi Sahapandava Bhavato Darshanam Yarhi Rishikanam Iveshitam Kevayam Nama Rupabhyam Yadubi Sahapandava Bhavato Darshanam Yarhi Rishikanam Iveshitu
Rishikanam Iveshitu Kevayam Namarupabhyam
Kevayam Namarupabhyam
Yadupi Sahapandavaha
Yadupi Sahapandavaha
Bhavato Darshanam Yarhi
Bhavato Darshanam Yarhi
Rishikanam Iveshitu
Rishikanam Iveshitu
Kevayam Namarupabhyam
Kevayam Nama Rupabhyam Yadubhi Sahapandava Bhavato Darshanam Yarhi Rishikanam Niveshitam
Kevayam Nama
Rupabhyam
Yadubhi
Sahapandava
Bhavato
Darshanam Yarhi
Rishikanam
Iveshitahu
Kevayam Nama Rupabhyam
Kevayam Nama Rupabhyam
Yadubhi Sahapandava
Yadubhi Sahapandava
Bhavato Darshanam Yarhi
Bhavato Darshanam Yarhi
Rishikanam
Iveshitu Rishikanam Iveshitu Kevayam namarupabhyam
Yadubhi sahapandava
Bhavato
dachanam yahi
Bhavato dachanam yahi
Vishikana vivesitu
Vishikana vivesitu
Kevayam namarupabhyam
Kevayam namarupabhyam
Yadubhi sahapandava
Yadubhi sahapandava Bhavato darshanam yahi
Rishikanam
iveshita
Kevayam
namarupabhyam
Yadubhi
sahapandava
Bhavato
darshanam yahi Rishikanam iveshitu
K-Puar
Vayam
We
Nama Rupa Vyam
Without fame and ability
Yarubi
With the Yarus
Saha
Along with
Pandava
And the Pandavas
Bhavata
Your
Adarshanam
Absence.
Yarhi,
as if.
Rishikanam,
of the senses.
Iva,
like.
Ishitu,
of the living being.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada.
As the name and fame of a particular body is finished with the disappearance of the living spirit. Similarly, if you do not look upon us, all of our fame and activities, along with the Pandavas and Yadus, will end at once. Please repeat. As the name and fame of a particular body is finished,
as the name and fame of a particular body is finished,
with the disappearance of the living spirit,
similarly, if you do not look upon us,
all of our fame and activities,
along with the Pandavas and the Yadus,
will end at once.
Purport.
Kunti Devi is quite aware that the existence of the Pandavas is due to Sri Krishna only. The Pandavas are undoubtedly well established in name and fame, and are guided by the great king Yudhishthira, who is morality personified. And the Yadus are undoubtedly great allies, but without the guidance of Lord Krishna, all of them are non-entities. As much as the senses of the body are useless without the guidance of consciousness, no one should be proud of his prestige, power, and fame without being guided by the favor of the Supreme Lord. The living beings are always dependent, and the ultimate dependable object is Lord Himself. We may therefore invent, by our advancement of material knowledge, all sorts of counteracting material resources, but without being guided by the Lord, all such inventions end in fiasco, however strong and stout the reactionary elements may be. As the name and fame of a particular body is finished with the disappearance of the living spirit, similarly, if you do not look upon us, all of our fame and activities, along with the Pandavas, Yadus, will end at once.
Oh, so you're still on the prayers of Queen Kunti. Actually, you only do one verse, basically one verse a week. And I was gone for 12 weeks.
That's a long time.
Yeah, seems like a long time. We're reading the third canto in Japan. So these prayers are so nice. Kunti Devi is the auntie of Krishna because she's a sister of Vasudev, right? Vasudev is Krishna's father. So they have this very intimate relationship. And of course, the Pandavas and Kunti went through so many trials and tribulations at the hands of Dhritarashtra and his sons. And of course, Queen Kunti's prayers, they're some of the most famous prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And here, again, she's pointing out the dependent position of the living entity, how the living entity is dependent upon them, on the Supreme Lord. And some of you weren't here, but we were reading again the Brahma Samhita this morning. In the Brahma Samhita, we were reading the verse discussing Lord Shiva's position. And the point that's being made in that verse and in the purport, and the same point that's being made here really, is that Lord Shiva is, he is not the supreme because he's dependent on a higher power, a higher source. And basically, philosophies come down to two philosophies. Either everything is one and nothing is dependent, or there's a supreme source and everything else is dependent upon that supreme source. We've been discussing this point in Japan a lot. There's two philosophies in Japan also. One is called Jiriki. Ji means the self, and Riki means power. So in one case, one does everything on one's own power. One's spiritual path is depending upon one's own initiative, one's own endeavor. Kind of like Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga, Mystic Yoga. One is thinking, one is not praying to the Lord. One is depending on one's own ability, one's own power. And then the other philosophy there is called Tariki. Or Ta means other. And Riki again means power. So depending on the other power, some other source. And so it comes down to this. Either we are God or we're dependent upon God. If you believe that everything is Brahman and that everything is a manifestation of the Brahman, then there's no one to pray to. And there's no sense in praying. There's no sense in even worshiping a deity. You know, they say, well, you should worship some form because it's easier. But why? I mean, it's a contradiction. This is the point where impersonalists, they cannot explain, you know, how does a living entity who is God come under the influence of illusion? They don't have a good explanation for that. And they, in different ways, try and explain it. But ultimately, you know, if we are God and if there is, you know, we're not dependent on any other source, then what worse, then why pray to anyone? Why worship? Why chant the holy name? Why worship a deity? Or why worship some other living being? And if we're God, then how did we ever how did we ever fall into illusion? But we are.
Do impersonalists worship deities?
Yes. Mm-hmm. They recommend deity worship. They recommend chanting the name of the manifestation of divinity. Divinity may manifest as Durga, may manifest as Shiva, may manifest as Ganesh, may manifest as Vishnu or as Surya. But it's the divinity who is manifested. So therefore, if you say Ganesh, if you say Shiva, it doesn't matter because you're just referring to the divinity. But you are the divinity. But since you don't know you're the divinity, then you worship the divinity. And once you know you're the divinity, then it doesn't matter. So it's very confusing and it's misleading because it's okay, you know, if ultimately there is only one entity, then there's no one to offend. But the other reality, or the reality is we are dependent. And there is a divinity who is the supreme. And if we ignore that divinity, then it's offensive. Then we're maintaining the disease that got us here in the first place, you know, which is that the mentality in the material world is that we want to be supreme. Can someone answer that phone or just? Yeah, thank you. So really, it comes down to these two points, and it's like, well, which do you want to accept? You know, and if you accept that one is not supreme, that somehow, you know, I am dependent, then the obvious choice is to worship the independent Supreme Personality of Godhead and become a humble servant. Mm. And if you don't accept that path, then it's useless to worship, to meditate. You know, who's Lord Shiva meditating on? Excellent, you know. Yeah. Yeah. He's meditating on somebody too. And even Lord Balaram is worshiping Krishna. So even Godhead enjoys the mood of service in relationship to the Supreme. So everything is one. Everything manifests from Govinda. And it's one energy, but it's simultaneously different. And the difference is there's one source and everything else is dependent upon that source. And within that is the possibility of bliss, of relationship, of service, of experiencing a relationship of love. And without two, then there's no relationship, there's no love. So Krishna, he manifests himself as many in order to enjoy love. And our purpose, our mission, is to engage in loving service to the Lord and satisfy the Lord's propensity for love. And at the same time, because we're part of the Lord, we have all the qualities of the Lord, we also want to experience loving relationship. The difficulty is that we're trying to do that in the material dead energy, you know, which is this material body. We're trying to experience loving exchanges, you know, on the bodily material platform, and therefore we're frustrated. And as Queen Kunti points out here, that, you know, it's because of the spirit soul that this body has some significance. And as soon as the spirit soul leaves the body, then the body is insignificant. And of course, we all have this experience of, for most of us, especially if you're not from the West, you're more likely to have this experience of seeing a live body and then seeing when the spirit soul leaves that body, how automatically it's like untouchable, right? And it's to be rejected and we want to get rid of. You know, 2 minutes before we're touching the person, we're crying on them and saying don't leave, and then once they've left, it's like suddenly it's like, wow, that's not them, that's just some gross untouchable thing that's now decomposing. Very shocking, you know. And so Kunti, she's pointing out here that, you know, just like the body has some significance as long as the spirit soul is there, she's saying that, you know, we have some significance because of the presence of Lord Krishna. And as soon as he disappears, then, you know, our whole purpose, you know, we have no more meaning. I want to finish my point and then I'll open up to questions, okay? So she's making the point here that the Pandavas, they've had this significant relationship with the Supreme Lord, and now he's departing. And she's feeling, just like Lord Chaitanya prayed, you know, that in the absence of Govinda, he didn't see any reason for staying in this material world, that everything had become vacant and void. And so she's anticipating that that Krishna is going to be leaving, and then their life, their purpose is going to be void, just like the spirit soul when it leaves the body will no longer have a purpose, will then just become something to be gotten rid of as quickly as possible. It's such an illusion. But this is how we become free of the illusion, is by admitting first. To come to this point of worshiping the Supreme Lord, being devoted to the Lord, to accepting the path of dependence, or tariki, is quite an accomplishment, especially in this day and age, in this world. To accept that there's one supreme source, some higher power, and that we're not that higher power, that we're part of that. And then to dedicate one's life to serving the Supreme Lord and to serving other living entities. It's the perfection, and it's the cure for the disease of really wanting to become the Lord ourselves. So by chanting the holy name, by worshiping the deity, by sadhu sangha, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, these are the five things that Lord Chaitanya specifically said was most effective. Sadhu sangha nam kirtana bhagavat shravana matura vasa shrimartira shradaya sevana. To live in a holy place, to associate with the devotees, to chant the holy name, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, and to worship the deity with faith are very effective, most effective means of waking our devotion to the Lord and counteracting the disease of Maya. So to come to that platform is not easy. And in this day and age, there's so much confusion between these two paths. There's this gray area where people are worshiping Lord Shiva or worshiping Ganesha, or worshiping the deity or chanting some name with the ultimate goal of giving that up because we're all God. So it's a very contradictory, confusing sort of lifestyle that many people are practicing now, especially, like I was mentioning, there's so many people in Japan that have taken up yoga, and they have a little bit of this information, but mostly it's coming through an impersonal school where there's not a clear, the absolute truth is not clearly defined. It's very ambiguous, and the whole practice is actually ultimately contradictory, because if you are God, then there's no one to worship. And at the same time, we're helpless, right? And we are dependent. So it's a false premise to begin with. So, but to clearly understand this, to accept one's dependent position, and to understand how we're simultaneously one and different from the Lord, to have this information and then to take it up and worship properly with that kind of understanding nowadays is pretty rare. And therefore, once you do have this information that, yes, I am dependent on the Supreme Lord, and that you understand the deity form is the manifestation of the personality of Godhead, and the holy name is the manifestation of the Lord, and hearing the scriptures, through the disciplic succession where it's clearly described how there's one supreme source and everything else is dependent upon that, then you can take up that meditation, that activity with full conviction without all these contradictions. And so it's being pointed out here very nicely by Queen Kunti how the soul is dependent upon the Supreme Lord. And without that information, it's hard to engage in sincere worship. Yeah. With conviction. So, you have some point?
I have a question, actually. Mm-hmm. There's uh, my question is, like, you know, when we are in misery, then at that time, trying to request help from the Lord for us to come out of that misery is very easy. It's very easy to be, I would say, religious or, you know, trying to remember Krishna at that time. But when everything is going extremely well, like in this case, the Pandavas, you know, for them after this war, everything was going extremely well and they were dependent. But how do we inculcate that mood that we should always be dependent? Because, I mean, personally for me, I find it very difficult when everything is going well for me in my everyday life that I can depend on Krishna. So can you say something how I can do that? Or, I mean, it depends on it depends on individual case by case, but at least can you give some suggestions, some principles on which I can...
Sure. That's a nice question.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, basically Prabhu was saying that normally, you know, like the saying is there's no atheists in foxholes. Right? That's as bad as it gets, right? When you're in a war and at any moment you could die and your people are dying all around you. You know, your friends are dying, you're talking to your friend 1 minute and the next minute a bullet hits him in the head and he's dead and it's right in front of you. So in that kind of atmosphere, we feel motivated to worship the Lord and to pray for God because we see our helpless condition. And actually, we're always in a helpless condition, but when things are going nice, we tend to forget that, right? When we're not suffering, when we don't, you know, especially in our culture, birth, death, old age, and disease are conveniently hidden away. So there are not a lot of reminders sometimes. So we may be going through long stretches where all our desires are being satisfied and we're not experiencing a lot of anxiety. And so your question is how to remain focused, how to remain motivated to worship the Lord, how do we remain aware of our dependent condition when things are going nice. Now, one of the ways is to come to Srimad Bhagavatam class on Saturdays. Or like Lord Chaitanya said, Sadhu Sangha. Because in the association of sadhus, we discuss the importance of spiritual life and practice. And we meditate, actually, on we recognize the miseries of material life, of birth, death, old age, and disease. And we, with courageously, we're facing those realities. We talk about them. We think about them. We mention about them to others. And normally, you know, normal people don't want to talk about the miseries of material life, the realities of material life, because when we consider the temporary nature of this material world, of this material body, it really puts a damper on the enjoying spirit. Right? Because we think of our priorities, that if this body is so temporary, I could leave it at any time, then we have to think, well, what is my purpose here? But when we're thinking of immediately of the next enjoyment, you know, or we're absorbed in the television or the video game, or even what we have to do, you know, to maintain our families and everything, we forget that in the next moment we could be taking our last breath. And we're always thinking, well, you know, somebody else has died, but it's not going to be me. And this way we try and put it out of our mind. But as soon as we focus on the realities of material life, Krishna says this in the, the 13th chapter where he describes the process of knowledge, the 18 processes of knowledge. One of the things that one who wants to have knowledge cultivates is the realities of birth, death, old age, and disease. One shouldn't avoid those things. So sometimes, you know, it's said that that the guru used to tell the disciples to go chant, you know, in the graveyard, you know, as a reminder, you know, or to, you know, if you become bewildered by the beauty of young women, spend a few time and, you know, go go check out an old age home, you know. So we, in this way, we should make an effort to stay focused on the realities of what's really going on. And at the same time, it's not all negative either. That, you know, that these pleasures that we're experiencing in the body are very, very temporary. And yeah, as Rishabhdev says, Nayam deho deyam bhajam nilo ke kastan karma narate vidbhujam ye tapo divyam pujaka yena sattvam sudye jasmam brahma sakyam tunantam. It says even a stool-eating hog, he also enjoys the same pleasures that we are. And one should endeavor for those things, but one should endeavor, one has to perform tapa for that Brahma Sankhyam Anantam, the happiness that doesn't end. And so we should be aware of, you know, that the happiness we're experiencing in this body, that whatever we get, it doesn't last very long and it ends, but we're looking for that eternal happiness. But in order to do that, you have to do the tapa.
I wanted to comment that when you were mentioning about the shikshastakam yugayitam nimeshena, really here in Queen Kunti, we really see, because she's in anxiety that Krishna is going to be leaving, and she's displaying this mood of separation that becomes a theme throughout the Bhagavatam and through Lord Chaitanya's demonstration of living the Bhagavatam in this mood of Vipralamba, that this is really a place where it comes, and that Queen Kunti's famous prayer that let the calamities come on us again and again because we'll see you, you know, establishes that, you know, that separation from Krishna is more miserable to the devotee. It's ecstatic, but it's then material calamities in life, and then so she's willing to embrace the calamities because she's not willing to embrace separation from Krishna. So that's her ecstatic mood. It's a very wonderful.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Okay. In terms of when we think my life is okay, you know, because we just think about ourselves, our family. But if you like, what a Krishna consciousness is like the whole planet, the whole universe. So if you just look, like for example, like if you extend a little bit, like when in the bear, if you just look what's going on in Spalot, people kill each other all the time, you know, or just look in the world, like if you think about my family, we still there, like, you know, think about that's what's going on here. But why are you going to Sankirtana? If you even like if you really pay attention now, people have good job, but see how they do business. They fight all the time, they are like really, it's like now dog and barking to each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can just, you know, just expand a little bit just to really see what's going on. You know, in America, it's hard because in America, they hide everything. If you go down the coast, like in Brazil, you see people, like, you know, getting killed, people getting drunk. Like, you really see America, it make everything looks really, really nice. You know, but if you really pay attention to how people are doing business nowadays, like, for example, I teach class. And sometimes it's unbelievable. I have a lot of people with a high company here. And they're crazy. They don't really know right and left. No, it's amazing. They come like, it's unbelievable. You know? It's unbelievable. Like, one day we have a meeting, and like, it's like about music, and the way that they're talking to each other, I couldn't believe it. The guy like cursing the lady, like really, really crazy. And they're all high-tech, you know, engineer. And I couldn't believe it. They don't have like the principle of like really, you know, people are really, so if you just like really, and Bhagavatam help us to see these things. So that's why now my spiritual man says, if you go out to Sankirtan, you're going to see how people treat you. It really give a reality, you know, what's going on. Besides just my family, I'm doing okay. We think you're doing okay, but when the interest rate go up and down for your house, you will see, oh man, I'm going to lose my house right now. That happens all the time. Right now, people are worried about what's going on. Nobody's buying a house anymore. Everybody's afraid what's going on, you know? And that's reality, you know? And that's, you know, what stock I'm going to invest? Is this company going to break down? That's all the time we have anxiety, you know? But you go home, have a good, like, food, you think you're doing okay, but we're not. We're really totally uncomfortable. But I just need to go a little bit beyond here. Like, now this meeting is really nice. Now coming here, prasada, Krishna, over there. Walking inside another day, the lady says somebody got robbed in that street here. Just walk by here. You know, somebody just got robbed right here. So really, like, it's no sin, not my family, my environment. No, just, you know, read the newspaper every single day, see what's going on down there. You know, it's like just like not only us. That's why Srila Prabhupada now came and said, okay, let's go out, like the books, like go out there, like, you know, see a little bit beyond what's going on here, you know. And that's why, you know, Sankirtan is a mercy, you know, like, you know, inside the temple, it's okay, you know, prasada, jit is really like nice, you know. And I talked with experience, like, you know, I luckily, you know, Krishna allowed me, you know, like, go to Brazil. It's unbelievable what's going on there in terms of, like, people, like, really become, it's like Kali Yuga. Before, people was like, you know, if you don't like you, they shoot you. Now they torture, they cut people's bodies. It's crazy. It's unbelievable. And the country is so low that everybody, they're used to it. They go outside and look like nothing. You know, just like nothing. And then go to Japan. Like, I have so many students in Japan. They're like, you know, getting crazy, lost, getting drunk all the time. They're like, you know, it's a great place for outside. For, you know. But if you really go outside, like, really connect with people, see what's going on. Man, he's like, do kalayana swastha time. You know, it's a temporary form of misery. You know, just like, no, it's not only us here. Just, you know. And, you know, sankirtan is really, don't go out there and see what's going on. You know.
Okay, so. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have time?
Well, a little. Well, last comment.
I got to make it short. Actually, before Narahari Prabhu asked the question that came up for me was, you had explained the method, that is, how we would worship, having come to the understanding that there is a higher power, then how do we relate to that? So it addressed the how, but the question that really came up for me was the why. Why should one turn to a higher power? Because that's what's being asked outside. And I think some comments that we heard address that, like the one you mentioned about Kali Yuga, what's going on. Just looking at this, somebody would ask, is there something beyond? But is there anything else that we would present as a rationale for the need why one should turn to a higher power? I know Rishabhdev, you mentioned, he said, eating, mating, sleeping, defending, we are more than that. So beyond what is discussed, is there any other compelling rationale why one needs to turn to higher power?
Yeah, the compelling rationale is that we are dependent on the higher power for our life, you know, for the sun, the water, the moon, other living entities, the vegetables, the animals. In every way, we're dependent, and we should show appreciation. And the problem we're in now in Kali Yuga is people have even though we are dependent upon the Lord in the form of sunlight and water and things like that and the earth, because we don't appreciate, therefore we're neglecting and exploiting the resources of material nature, and now therefore this global warming, pollution, poverty, famines, wars, and things like that. So all these problems are due to not appreciating our dependence upon the Supreme Lord. So if we want to be happy and if we want to be peaceful and we want the world to be a better place, then we should do sankirtan. We should glorify the Lord and encourage others to, for our own peace. So the motivation is for our own individual peace and for the peace of the world. Okay, we really have to end. One last. This is absolutely the last.
I wanted to ask you, like, the mode of separation. You talked about the mode of separation between Kunti and Krishna.
Yes.
I want to relate this to the mode of separation between devotees and Krishna. Is it good for devotional service or is it not good for devotional service? and how does it help to advance in devotional service?
I mean, is feeling separation from Krishna good for devotional service?
Yeah.
Of course, it's good. You know, what would the downside be? We're never separated from Krishna, on one sense. And our activities in devotional service are a way of connecting with Krishna and feeling that solace from whatever level we're in. You know, of course, Queen Kunti is aware of her personal relationship with Krishna. And we also have a personal relationship with Krishna in a spiritual body, but we're not aware of it. But we are aware, we can be aware of what our relationship with Krishna is right now at this moment. And one of the ways that we're aware of our relationship with Krishna is that he's the source of our life. And not only our spiritual, you know, he's the source of our spirit and our consciousness, but he's also the maintainer of our material body and everything else. And so by appreciating that, we're connecting with Krishna and we're having established a relationship with him. What is our relationship exactly at this time, right now? And when we forget that, we feel anxiety. You know, and we begin to suffer, we feel fear. And so part of our motivation is, we don't want to suffer separation from Krishna. So immediately we can begin chanting his holy name and begin appreciating our relationship with Krishna and then feel solace. So this the separation is a stimulus for devotional service.
Separation means he is always thinking about it, so that's smaranam, so that's another form of devotional service.
Yeah, there's nine kinds of devotional service. But I have to go. I'm sorry. And it's like 20 minutes after.
You can't stay for Guru Puja.
I have to go. Not every Saturday, but this Saturday I have to go. I'm sorry.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you. I really missed you too. And it's this is where I get my strength and my motivation. For when I go to Japan, although this time was particularly enlivening for me. Things are kind of coming up, finally, I feel like, you know. Although it's slow and there's a long way to go, I feel like we're kind of turning a corner there.
How many temples are there in Japan?
Just two.
Tokyo and?
Osaka. And there's a couple of restaurants and a new one starting in Osaka and few devotees in Yamanashi, where this Prabhu goes, and there's pockets of devotees in different places, but the official temples, there's only two.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Aglosha Srila Prabhupada, Aglosha Srimad Bhagavatam, Jai.